reading through the sugya, so we noted that the Gemara presents three different opinions as to why we have a din that the sugya, which is Gavol Malam Esrim Amo, is puzzle, is sugya psula, according to the Chachamim. So we have Rabba's reason that it relates to Shalto Be'eno, on the Dor HaSechem, you have to be able to see, and so on and so forth, and it's too high, you can't see it. And we had Abzeira's reason that has to do with the tzela of the sukkah, and we had Rabba's reason that has to do with the sukkah being a binyan arai, a diras arai, as opposed to a diras keva. So they said, I want to go back and look over now in some detail each of the different shitas. So we spoke yesterday about Rabba's shita, so I'd like to look today at Abzeira. The Gemara says on Beis and Beis, let's see where it is, Keman Azla, the three in a row, the same beginning, about 12 lines down. It says, Keman Azla Hodam Rav Huna. Can you see it? Keman, 12 lines on the top of base, on base. Keman Azla Hodam Rav Huna. Rav Huna is in the name of Rav. Hodam Rav Huna Amar Rav. By the time we finish all these Keman Azlas, we have three, all trace themselves back to Rav. If you notice, they're all Talmidim of Rav, second generation Amorim, but later Amorim, saying the name of Rav. So Rav limited the machlokas to the length, the height of the defanas that we discussed yesterday. So here, Amor Huna Rav, machlokas b'she'ein bo ela arba amos ala arba amos. This, according to Rav, the dispute between Yehuda and the Chachamim in the Mishnah about a sukkah, la mal mechof, is only talking about when we have a sukkah, which is a basic size sukkah, arba amos ala arba amos. Okay? However, Abul Yeshba Yosem Arba Amos, if it's bigger than Arba Amos, then I feel a Malameshim Amak Shera. Then if you're higher than 20 Amos is good, because the logic seems to be that if the issue is an issue of tzel, so in a smaller sukkah, then the height of the tzel, the height of the schach, which provides the tzel, has to be a certain height in order to provide the tzel. But if the sukkah itself, the base of the sukkah, the footprint of the sukkah is larger, so then you can even be higher and still have tzel, right? It's a ratio question. That's what Gemara seems to say. And the Gemara says, Keman, who's that? Who's that like? Okay, Keman, who does that go like? Kereb Zera, the Amar Shum Tzelu, the Kevan, the Revicha, Ika Tzel Sukkah. If it's the Sukkah is wider, so then Schat, even higher up, provides tzel. Okay? That's what the Gemara says. So Rashi says, let's take a look. Rashi says, Hochi Garsinan, Machlokas v'shein bo'ala arba amos arba amos aviyesh b'yos etc. That's what we have. Mishum tzel. The imish. This is only according to this lumdus that it's a matter of the size of the sukkah. That only works according to Bzeira, as Rashi explains. The imishum mishlat aina. If it's a matter of seeing the schach, so who cares how big the footprint of the sukkah is? If your eyes don't go up, especially what we discussed the other day, you know, if you're putting it, you have to look up, it's not your light line of vision, or like Miri's, if you tilt your head back, that's not no difference with the basic size of the sukkah. If it goes to here, it goes another 10 feet, another 100 feet, doesn't make a difference, right? It's very dalamas purta, lo shalta meina. Okay? And the same thing, the Rashi doesn't spell out, but the same thing with regards to Diras Arai, if it's a larger based sukkah, so okay, but 20 amos, more than 20 amos is still going to be a more fixed amount, more fixed Diras Keva, so it won't make a difference. It only makes a difference according to Mzera. Okay, so Tosas deals with the question, and we shall deal with the question exactly what do we mean by this. You know, it's apparently, according to Mzera, if this is correct, according to Mzera, the base or the footprint, the size of the sukkah is going to impact how high it can be also. The size of the sukkah on the ground can impact the height. Why should that be? So let's look at Tosas. Yesh bo Yosef arba amos afilu lemalam esrim ksheira. The third Tos on the page. Lebesof masik derhuna sovem rosh urushuchanu adal amos pligi Yosef amos ksheira. The conclusion is like this: the rosh aruba bishuchanu. That's the minimum size of a sukkah. We'll see that later. The minimum, absolute minimum size of a sukkah is that it's big enough for a person to get his head and most of his body and some little table in. Okay, just a small crouching, cramming into a small area. That's a seven, that the Gemara later is going to tell us, 7 tochim by 7 tochim. So they're about 2 feet, you know, 2 feet by 2 feet. You can barely squeeze in with a, you know, with a little table, and even a whole part of your body can be outside, but mostly you're inside, right? The minimum, absolute minimum size of a sukkah. It's like we find that the size of a mikveh, the minimum size of a mikveh is Amal Amal Barum Gimel Amal Gimel Amal Barum Amal, you know, the machzekas arbas arbaim saw holds 40 saw, because that's the minimum size that a person can, the average size person can squeeze in and be in the water of the mikveh at the same time, right? The minimum size. So that's what the same idea is here is also. All right. So that's where the are. So sukkah from that size. Let's look at the words of Tosfos a little bit. Sof masik tov huna sofar merosh over rubo shulchano, which means the minimum size of a sukkah. Ad dalamos pligi. That's where the machlokas is. A sukkah up to dalamos. That's where we have a machlokas. Whether the that's where the chachamim passel it if it's higher than 20 amos. And who's machshir? That's where the machlokas is. Okay, from the minimum until dalamos. Right, you see what Tosfos is saying? It's from the minimum size. So that's exactly where the machlok is. That's where the Rabbanon passed the sukkah that it's higher, the Mishkach is higher than 20 amos, whereas and Rabbi Huda's machshir. Okay, but beyond that, but Yosef Dal Amos here, apparently we're saying if it's bigger than Dal Amos, then it can be higher. Then even the Chachamim would agree that 20 amos is not the cutoff point. So Tosfos the Tema, V'chi nachshir b'rechava mashu yesem Dal Amos. So what do you mean? So if it's dal amos and one tefach, or you know, the dal amos and an inch, that already, oh, that can be much higher. Well, how does that work? Sounds like Rav Huna saying to him, Rav, that the cutoff point is dal amos or dal amos, but beyond, if the sukkah is bigger than dal, then we don't care. Then the height can be much higher than 20 amos. What, 1 inch more already can be higher? Does that make any sense based on Abzera's assumption that it's a din and a tzeil? Okay, he says, it's wider of mashu. Yes, your problem is still going to be a problem. In other words, your whole issue of Zera is that at a certain point, the tzeil is not coming from the sukkah, the tzeil is coming from the defanas, right? Okay, so now more than four and a half amas, five amas, so now it can be much higher than 20 amas. It's still not going to generate the tzeil. There's got to be. So Tosfos gives two terutzim, okay? The first teretz I'm going to look at second, but I'll read it first, we'll read it in order. First answer is no, it's a ratio. It doesn't mean if it's 1 inch more than a dal amos, then it can be, whatever that is, 1 inch more than 20 amos height. Not going to be 1 inch, but it's a ratio. 20 amos height works, there's no good in a sukkah of 4 amos. Okay, so you have to ratio 4 amos to 20 amos. If it's 5 amos wide, so it can be 25 amos high. If it's 6, it'll be 30. If I know there's a ratio. That's what it means. That doesn't mean that the moment you pass dal amos, so it's already good. That's the first teretz of Tosfos. We'll come back to it. Okay, inami, look at the second answer first. Inami, kim lo rabbanon. The rabbanon assessed, established. Da filo begova elef, even if it's 1,000 amos high. I efshar shelo yekan tzeil schach purta. The first, second teretz is no. It's not. If the chachamim establish that if it's wider than 4 amos, you're right. I don't care how high it is. It's not a ratio. It's not going to be 4 amos to 20. So therefore, it's 5 amos to 25, etc. Okay, it's not a ratio. Once it's bigger than 4 amos or 4 amos, the chachamim establish there is some form of tzeil that's going to come even from a very very high. Schach was very, very high off the ground. Okay, that those came over the bottom. The bottom says that's a fact. And he says, "Kid Ashkechon v'perikam Kippurim," like we find in the Gemara in Yuma. Gabi Koseves Hagasa, the Meisvidai, the Miasvidaita. Koseves Hagasa is like a date, okay, a fat date. That's the minimum size in terms of Isser Achilin Yom Kippur. Okay, you can eat up to the size of a Koseves Hagasa and not be in violation of eating on Yom Kippur. Okay, the shear by there is not Kezias, it's Koseves. So, why? The Miyasra Daita, it provides some, you know, relief to hunger. All right? Darmin Kula Amatuba, Og Melech HaBoshon Porta. For some people it's a lot, for someone like Og Melech HaBoshon be a little. What's going on? So I printed out the source for you, let's see it. Okay, the Mishnah says in Yuma, let's look at source 4. Okay, the Mishnah Maseches Yuma says, Ayin Gimel Beis, beginning of the 8th parak of Yuma. Most of Maseches Yuma deals with the kodshim aspect of Yom Kippurim, all the karbanos, the avodas hayom, and so on. The dinim that we know about Yom Kippur, in terms of fasting, everything else, really doesn't come in detail till the 8th parak, the last parak in Yuma. Most of the rest is kodshim oriented. Okay, again, the Beis HaMikdash, and the avodas hayom, and the kohen gadol, and all that stuff. the eighth paragraph, also tshuva, you know, the concept of tshuva. That's really in the last paragraph of Kippur. Anyway, some of the famous mamar with the Gemara and tshuva, not till the eighth paragraph of Kippur. Anyway, it says there, the eighth paragraph begins in Ein Gimel Beis, and it says, Yom HaKippurim Osir B'Achilo V'Shtir V'Chitzu V'Sichim V'Nafsasano U'Tashim Amita, right? The five Chameshas Inuyim, the five so-called affliction of Kippur, Achilu Shtir counts as one, V'Chitzu V'Sichim V'Nafsasano U'Tashim Amita. Then the side point, V'Amelech V'Akal Yechatzus Pnayim, V'Chayatinos Asano, a king or a calic can wash your face if it's dirty and so on, and someone who's a pregnant woman and so on. So giving birth to a baby, Tinos Asano, the Rulez V'Chal Osir, that's not my issue. Now here's the issue. Ha'ochel Kikoseves Hagaso. How much do you have to eat in terms of violation of eating? Kikoseves Hagaso, Kamo V'Uchgariniso. Okay, that's the fruit with the date, the pits, the date, the seeds, and so on. Show below lugmov, and drinking is a cheekful below lugmov, a cheekful. Okay, then chayav. Kol ha'ochem mitzafen koseves, right? All it doesn't matter if it's, you eat six different foods. You have a tiny piece of six different foods. They all mitzaref to the shiur v'koseves. Kol ha'mashkem mitzaref below lugmov, ochem v'show se'im mitzaref. Fine. Okay. What exactly is this koseves hagaso? So the Gemara later, how big is it? So the Gemara later on in source 5, Ayin Tes Amud Aleph in Yuma, says Av Yehuda, koseves hagaso shomu yisera mekibetzu. It's a little bigger than a kibetzu. Okay? And here's the line that's relevant to us. V'kimla hula rabbanan debehoche miyasa daita, botse mehoche lo miyasa daita. That amount, you know, miyasa daita is Aramaic for yishuv hadas. It gives you some form of comfort, some relief from your hunger. Okay, but less than that doesn't do anything. Less than that does nothing. Less than a bite of something, less than a koseves, does nothing to alleviate any hunger. Okay, but this amount is a chacham established, a chacham fixed. That's the amount. Rashi explains there in Ayin Tes Amud Aleph Yuma 6, right? Kimlo Rabbanan v'afal gav dechol shir achilas isur b'kazayas. What's bothering the Gemara here, ordinarily, everything that has to do with eating is always a kazayas. However big a kazayas is, right? Isur of chametz, you know, of eating chametz, I mean, eating chametz is not a mashu, but let's say, isur of eating matzah is for cards. You have to eat a kazayas, whereas matzah is a kazayas, and brachas, everything's always a kazayas, right? You know, to eat an olive size, a kazayas. What's going on here that it's kosevet? We have a Gemara. Gemara says in brachas and other places. Kazayis is always the minimum. So how come here it's bigger? It's bigger even than a kibetza. A beitza is very often assumed to be two kazayim. So it's even bigger. There's a kosevas. The Gemara just said is yisera kibetza. It's even bigger than a kibetza, right? So what's going on? So Rashi says, "Hani mili hechad eksiv achila." Yeah, when the Torah uses the word achila, then we have a rule that ain achila pchus mekazayis. It's a kazayas. But by Yom Kippur, the Torah never actually says, don't eat on Yom Kippur. What does it say on Yom Kippur? Inui. Right? He uses the word inui. It doesn't say achila. So therefore, avahocha, ashalo se'une k'siv. V'chol kamad lo miyasa da'ita inuhu. So what does it go? It goes by inui is a physical affliction. So a kazayas doesn't impact that. That's why the shiur is a kosevas, because a kosevas, as long as you haven't impacted or granted yourself any relief from the hunger, so you haven't violated v'nisem. If the Torah would say lo sochlu, like it says by Pesach, you know, machalas asurus and so on, so then there should be kazayas, bas v'chalav, you know, all these kinds of things. You know, if you'd have some sort of expression like that by nevelas, by non-kosher animal, it says lo sochlu, fine. But it never says it by Yom Kippur. It says you have to be me'anel, inisim esnaf shakir, on average, also une, which is what Rashi quotes. So therefore, even if you ate a kazayas, that's not the first sugi there in the eighth parak of Yuma, on that parak, and the Avayin Gimel discusses what's the story what we call chatzi shir, right? Chatzi shir. Chatzi shir means less than an amount. Is that mutter? Or is that, no, it's also in the Torah, it's just not a violation of Kippur, right? That's a big machok, chatzi shir, chatzi means, doesn't mean half. You know, 50-50 means less than the whole amount, anything less. So that's a big machlokas. Yochanan Shlokas is there in the beginning of the 8th paragraph, an important discussion of chatzi shir. Okay, well, chatzi shir, it may still be usher, but it's not a violation of inui. So for our purpose today, the Gemara is saying that up until you eat a kosevis, where that's not a violation of inui because you haven't done anything to alleviate the hunger. Okay? and called Kamadelo Miyasa Daita Inui. You're still in the parish of Inui because you didn't eat a kasevis. Who said that? The Chazal said. So the Gemara later on Pamid Beis in Yuma, source 7, Maskar of Zera, Maishna Achila de Chochad Vachad 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 Vachad. Okay? You know, if you look carefully at the Mishnah gave an objective definition of the Issur Achila, namely the size of kosevis. But by shtia, it gave a subjective, melo lugma, a cheekful. Well, your cheekful is not the same as my cheekful. I may have a bigger cheeks. You know, I mean, I'm bigger than you are. Okay, so how come the Gemara asks, how come when it comes to Achila, it was an object of shtia kosevis, and b'shtia, it's chol chad v'chad v'didei, every person. So, when I buy a kimlul rabbanon b'kikosevis to v'hach mi'asidaiti, like we said before, okay, that when it comes to eating, it's kosevis grants some sort of alleviation of hunger, but to v'hach mi'asidaiti, but less than that not. B'shtia b'didei mi'asidaiti v'chavilom mi'asidaiti. Shtia is different. Drinking, it's more variable. The difference depends on the person. Okay, there's no fixed amount. Okay, I don't want to go into the distinction either right now between eating and drinking, but the Gemara makes that distinction. Now the Gemara asks, Maskif lor abzera. 1 second. Is that true by eating? It doesn't matter. V'cholchola olam kulu b'kikosevis? Okay? V'og melech haboshan b'kikosevis? A big guy. Right? Certain people eat more than other people. Okay? And what may satisfy you doesn't satisfy me. If I, a big guy, eats a lot. So for a skinny fellow, it's a tiny taste. That does something for him. For a big guy, a tiny taste does nothing. So why by Achil do we have that distinction? And the Gemara mentions Og Mel Habashan as a giant, right? He probably ate more. You read what some big athletes eat, and they eat in one meal, but what do we eat in 8 meals, whatever, for purpose of weightlifters and bodybuilders, whatever. Okay, because they're bigger, they require more intake. So, Maskar Uzeru, B'chol Olam, Kul B'Kosevis, V'Og Rabash B'Kosevis. I mean, does that make sense? And it's the same way by Shtia, it's subjective, it's subjective by Achil also. Answer the Gemara, I'm going to buy it. No, Kim L'Hu Rabbanan, the B'Hachim Yasir Daiti, yes. Okay, the Rabbanan have established that miyasadaita, that it is some alleviation. How much alleviation is there? That depends. Miu kula almatuba rog mel chaboshan porta. Okay, for average person, so this little amount alleviates more of the hunger than alleviates rog mel chaboshan. Kis could still need another 4 steaks after that, but alleviate some of the hunger. That's the point. It's still, Chacham say, Kosevis alleviates some hunger, even a person with a big appetite. He may want to eat more later. It's true. It doesn't alleviate it the same way it alleviates in a thin fellow, but it is an alleviation of some form of hunger when it comes to, that's Kimle. So Tosus says the same idea over here. The Chacham established, they figured out, okay, that the same thing. A sukkah can be gigantic in terms of its height, is way above 20 amos, but if it's wider than 4 amos at the base, even a very, very high sukkah will grant or produce a little more shade. Sounds a little strange, but that's what Tosa says. So the Swasemis is bothered. I printed in source 5, source 8. The Swasemis is bothered. Swasemis says, right, it gives the terror to Tosa, okay? And he writes, Teretz HaTosis Dochuk. Okay, let me tell you something. The Teretz HaTosis is a little forced for a couple of reasons. First, the Imken Gami Pachim Dalmas Nivchashir Hagova. That's the first Teretz HaTosis he's talking about, which I don't know. The first Teretz HaTosis is a little strange also because he says, if it's a matter of ratio, so ratio should work the other way. Why does the ratio begin with Arba Amos and 20 Amos? What if I have a Sukkah that's smaller than Arba Amos? I should be able to, it should be puzzle at 15. Right? In other words, if it's a ratio issue, the same way the ratio impacts it when it's higher, when the base is bigger than 4 amos, so then the height can be bigger than 20 amos, so the base is smaller than 4 amos, should the same ratio be in place? It shouldn't automatically be good up to 20 amos, even according to the Chacham. It should depend on the base. The base is only 3, it should be 15, right? That's what the Swazim is bothered by there. My hefesh yesh b'shir ha'achol, lomar machlokas b'shein b'al da'al al-dalad. Hello, Tanakama, we deplete Gabi Yosu Dalamas. So Tanakama, Tzarcha, Goba, Kvera. Not only that, but he says the language is also difficult. Because the way the Gemara says to Machlokas, when it's Dal al Dal, and when it's up to Dal al Dal. No, the Machlokas mean place, even when it's more, because you have to have a ratio. If you have to have a ratio, the machlokes in Yehuda and Chachamim, again, it's a side point I'm getting now, but I'm reading it. So Hashemes is the first part, it's also difficult, because it's a ratio issue. So the machlokes doesn't end until the implication of the Gemara of Rav Huna Marav is that once you hit 20 amas, then there's no more machlokes. That's not true. There's still machlokes. Machlokes is, if it's a 5x5 sukkah, so the what's his name? The Chacham will machshir up to 25, right? But who they still arguing? He said it can be bigger than 25 and 6 to 30, etc. So the machlok, the lashon, sometimes there's two objections. First of all, he says that a smaller circle should also be dependent on the ratio. Okay, so why the only argument only stops, so to speak, at 20 amos? And he said, second of all, even when it hits 20 amos, machlokas isn't over. Rabbi Chacham will still require that 1 to 4 ratio, 1 to 5 ratio. And he won't. Huda won't. So he says, still a machlokas. All right. So that's what he says. And then he says in the fourth line, Vigam, that's really what I want to look at now, Vigam teretz habez betosos tamuah. Delo dami daha de yuma. It's not the same thing as the Gemara Yuma, the Chacham made an assessment. The hasam shaper move on bechush. Okay, you can figure out through some sort of a sensitivity that a kosevitz, gam laog mel chabosh, and ika yisivas dasporta. Okay, with a kosevis, even a big person gets some sort of yishavada, some sort of alleviation or relief from the hunger. Upachet b'kosevis, anybody see the satzchal. Av a kani lehatzel, my time yeshom et b'shir dal al shuv ein hefresh ben lamal mechaf mikuf. I mean, what kind of assessment is that? Well, when it's above dal amos, then there's no. When it's bigger than dal amos to the base, it doesn't matter whether it's 20 amos or kuf 100. Okay, so it finds it difficult, right? As we all should. So he says, "Vanilla is daiti mitocha dochug lomar tzas tam the beemes afagav the amar bzer lemalam mechaf leket zel sukkah roin bechosh the chasham neged chalal asukkah vada ikatzel adeschach." We saw this. Even though Rabbi Zera says that above 20, it's a function of any tzel is a function of the defanos and not the tzel, right? Not the schach. But if the sun is directly above the opening of the sukkah, right? We spoke about that. Okay, if the sun is directly midday, the midday sun is directly above. Vada iketzel adeschach ve'ein sham agonam adfanos. There is some place in the sukkah, okay, where there is some protection that's not from the defanos. There's some, all right. Valkein tzarach lomon abzer the kev zayin el shom muetes shacham ilamala neged chalal sukkah lachach psula. He says, but that's only for a short period of time. If you have a sukkah, yes, there is a point where it's not the defanos, it is the schach that's providing the shade from the sun. But that's a relatively short period of time. So therefore, Bzera holds that since Tzarech Lomar said, the cave is the ena el shah mu'etes, shachama hi lamala negev chal sukkah, l'chach psula. Bin kei yesh lomar, the kinu l'chachama, behila chachama, the beshir katan shal rocho da'alam, shidavar mu'et, ein lach shal likras nikras tzel sukkah. It's not going to be called tzel sukkah for that short amount of time. Avol yosem dal amos, if it's bigger than dal amos, the bigger the sukkah is, the more time that there is that the overhead sun is providing shade. The schach is providing shade from the overhead sun. The overhead sun is blocked by schach. The wider, the bigger the base of the sukkah is, the more time the sun being overhead is blocked, so to speak, by the schach. You follow? If it's a small area, it's only blocked for a small period of time. So Chum said, if it's larger than Da'al Amos, even only it's a little larger than Da'al Amos, but that's enough time to render this halachically schach. Do you follow what the Chum says? I mean, he admits it in Tocha Docha, but I think it's a very creative answer. Okay? He's saying the problem is, according to the Chachamim, that when the schach is, there is a point, even in a small sukkah, a small sukkah, there is a point where the sun is overhead, and whatever shade there is on a base is from the schach. So why did the Chacham say it's no good? Okay, even if it's higher than 20 amos, it could be 50 amos, but that's not, it's not there for enough time. It's for a minute and a half, whatever, there's a small window of time. So therefore, that's no good. But if the base of the sukkah is larger, when the overhead sun is blocked for a longer period of time by the schach, so then he says that it's that's zman is enough. That's the kimlo of the rabbana, like the kosevis. So says the svasam. Okay, let's get into the answer. Okay, but again, everybody's a little bit bothered. Let's turn to the Ran. an aleph from an aleph. Okay, a different take. You know, it does seem a little difficult to say that the moment you've hit the 4 amma mark of the base of the sukkah, then we don't care about 20 ammas, 25, 30, 40, assuming the second answer to Tosas, not the first answer, you have to maintain the ratio. Okay, the second answer to Tosas. So it's, yeah.
But I don't really understand the connection between the shiurim with
Yuma?
Yeah.
It's just saying that sometimes the chachamim make, they assess that this is considered lahalacha enough of a, in other words, a kosevis worth of eating is considered enough of an alleviation of hunger for anybody. If for a very big person who eats a ton, so it's not much of an alleviation of his hunger, but it's something. Whereas less than that is not considered halachically significant. What is provided by a kosevis, the Gemara says, the food, the nutrition, or whatever that is provided by the kosevis, is considered halachically sufficient that now you're no longer be'inui. It doesn't mean it's the same for every person. It isn't. Okay? What alleviates your hunger might alleviate my hunger. Okay? What alleviates any of our hunger won't alleviate Ogmal HaBashan's hunger. But it's some alleviation of hunger. Different for every person, but there's some alleviation, some relief from hunger. Therefore, it's now a violation of Inui. Consequently, that's the Chama fix. They determine it's halachically significant. So what the Sosemis is saying and the Tosis means over here is the same thing. They considered that the amount of time that in a larger base sukkah, a sukkah on the ground that's much more than Arba Amos, or even it's only a little more than Adal, but there is a period of time when the Tzchach is overhead, that it's generating, the Tzchach overhead, when the sun's right over the head, the Tzchach is generating some sort of tzel. So when it's only Dalad, and the Tzchach is more than 20 Amos, so we consider that period of time that the tzel is generated by that tzchach when the sun is overhead to be halachically negligible. It's insignificant. It's not enough time. And the chacham established when the sukkah is bigger, when it's overhead for long, when the overhead sun is blocked and the tzel is generated for a longer period of time because the sukkah is wider, okay, so it takes a while till the tzel takes over, that amount of time is significant. And it made Arba Amos Nekarov, just like they made Kosevus Nekarov. That's the idea. Okay, they determined what's halachically significant. The Ran, on Aleph Mad Aleph, says, Elabitzel Defanos, it's about midway, you have to get wide, right? In the middle, maybe 10 lines, you have to go out. Elabitzel Defanos, Shatzolim Agin Zelat Zemito Govan Shal Defanos. Right? The concern is that at a certain height, so it's the Defanos that are providing the tzel and not the Tzchak, but ain't Tzorak Tzchak. Timahani, Shere Ein Sofek She Ein Shum Shobi Yom Shizchak So Zayin Al Zayin Shu Hech Shesuka Yimna Shal Yikonis Chamatachta of Kolshu Gvochav. There's still, even if it's a tiny sukkah, Zayin al Zayin, that's the what Tosfos called Rosh Aruba v'Shulchan Aruch, right? The minimum size of the sukkah, Zayin al Zayin, even a tiny sukkah, there is a moment of the day in even a tiny sukkah where the sun is directly over that sukkah, okay, where the tzel is providing some shade, right? V'chevin the high tzel in Noach Chamavinan, like in the Muchach. Since the goal is to produce tzel, like we see from the Gemara's Kasha about the sukkah in between those two mountains and so on and so forth, so hechi amri da ad chaf ama adam yoshev tzel sukkah v'chol ano lahakish hamuchosh. Okay, elafichach ani omer mitoch adochach the kim lulu rabban, and he has a different take on the kim, same basic Kasha, but a different terrace. The ad chaf ama megin haschach umemayit chom hachamo. Okay, he has a different take. If I'm understanding the Ran correctly, it's not just a matter of the shade; it's also a matter of relief from heat. Okay, he says, "Ad chaf ama megin haschach umemayit tchom hachama." The schach, don't forget, shade is not only a function of light; shade is also a function of feeling the heat. You want to get into the shade in the summertime because it's hot out. It's not because you want to, you're bothered by the light. About the heat, right? The shade is also provides relief from heat, not just a matter of light and dark. Okay, so the Ran is saying, again, he also says mitocha dochak, but he says rabbanon kimlu the ad chaf ama megan hakamad chom hacham al mishu yoshev tachta sheinu mischam ba kol kach kilo haya megula. Okay, as if you're sitting in an open, you're outdoors on a patio and there's no cover, you're on a deck and there's no cover. So then the sun's beating down, you're hot. Okay, you have a cover, so you get relief from the heat. So again, the Ran is also saying, I think the Kimli, the Rabbana, if a person says, I hold like a certain sheet, it's something else. The Gemara says, Kimli the Rabbana say that there is relief from the heat. That to me, will also be a good comparison to the Yuma case. Right, because there's relief from hunger, there's relief from heat. So they say up until 20 hours, whatever the tzchach does, it provides some sort of relief. Okay, I'm sorry, if it's beyond 20 hours, it doesn't. But if the base of the sukkah is bigger, so then even above 20 hours provides more relief. That's what the Ran seems to be saying. Let's look at source 10 of the Iri. Okay, v'aderech hasheni he shodas b'zera tam pisu. This is the Miri summary. The Miri is not really on Beis and Aleph. Okay, because he first gives the summary of the Gemara. But the Miri says, Vaderech HaSheni. I want to say the Ran, it's a little different. It's not the heat, fine. Vaderech HaSheni Shodas, Zerah Tam Psulim, Nixiv, Sukkah, Til, Tzil, Yom, Echor, Vares, okay, fine. Ares, Amam, Ode, Yosh, Mitzil, Sukkah, Lamam, Ares, Amam, Ein, Ode, Yosh, Mitzil, Sukkah, Mitzil, Tefanah. V'tam Psul Zehu, Shemin Astam, Afo Pi, Shem Moshe HaSukkah, Ratzon Lama, Ark, Arachva, Ein, Lo, Shir, Milmala, El, Milmata. There is no maximum size, says the Miri, for the width and length of a sukkah. Okay, it could be 20. I got kind of a sukkah that's 12 feet long, 20 feet long, 100 feet long, whatever you want. You know, you see some gigantic sukkahs, right? There's no, all right. As long as there is a shear at the bottom, right? Milmata, kol shi shiva tochma, shiva tochma, shu hech shir hemshech alapachos, kashi shiva tzolam echad, shu tzolam mochom, amalam, shu chon, tefach, fine. Okay, again, there is a minimum size of the width and length of the sukkah walls. There's no maximum size. Ein lo shir memala. El afila, ha'isa arka, orachba, kama milim. That's exaggeration, but yeah. Very, very long sukkah, b'ksheira. V'kol mochom sukkah harim en astam hi, dal amas al dal amas. The average size, the basic size of a sukkah is dal amos or dal amos, which is a minimum size of a house, because less than that is not called a house. Fine, okay. Bechol she'ein bo rochel liyesem ikein ein schach shalom alam esem ama noten al tel bekarkus utachlo. Right, as we explained, if it's only 4 amos wide, 4 amos in length and width, so then something which is more than 20 amos is not providing enough tel. Okay, everything that we said so far. Now. He says in the second line of the second page of Afila Nirala Nashakarka Tsilum Rub Mechamto, but yet we see there's lots of shade in that sukkah. But still Tsil the Fanas who will old Silscha. The Anul Silschach on a Tzvichim. It's basically spells out the Gemara. What about these two mountains and so on? No, because we figure out that it's not a matter of there actually being the shade there, but it has to be if you remove it and so on. At the end, the Miri writes, "Uladazat halamed." You base it from here. Shakol shasukah rechava yesem idal amatamanos kshera aflamala meesim. Shakol shasukah rechava kol kach tzel hadefanos misrachech meemtzoa v'tzel asukah mitol gadol mispashet bo v'kvishat amosi berochav atayochal lahosif begova. Says the Miri now. I'm not sure what Amir is saying in the first second. First, it sounds like he's saying, okay, at the end, look at those last 2 lines. First, it sounds like he's saying, Shakol Shasukah Rechav Yasmin Da'alamas Da'alamas Ksher Aflam Alam Yasmin.
Sounds like the second answer.
Sounds like the second answer. Right, then he switches. You saw that also? That's what it seems to me also. First, he says, as long as it's bigger than even the 20 Amas, because the further away the walls are, the less shade the wall. And then they say, Kimul Rabbanan at that. But then at the end, he says, Sounds like he's switching over to the first answer to this. I don't know if he means it to, he's giving two terutzim or he's linking it, but oh, two terutzim. Okay. Just we look now in the back, okay. I realize, by the way, I made a mistake in the Marma Koma, source 12, the Ritvoy. There are 3 Keman Azals in the Gemara. And I copied, I photocopied the Ritvoy on the wrong one. Okay, I meant to copy the second, that's the third one. So source 12 doesn't belong. I'll read you what does belong in a second. But look at the back of the Gemara. Okay? On the Maharsha, we have the Maharsha. It's on the bottom of the page of Maram of Lublin. So on this Tosis here, There's also, again, everybody's bothered by this. It's Beis Mabeis. It's a page Beis in my edition, the Maram. It says the Beis Mabeis, but Tosu Dumasu Yeshpo and so on. Okay? He just, well, I mean, he makes some minor point that I thought was interesting. He said, you know, the Tosus didn't, the Dibra Maskor Tosus is Yesh Ba Yosem Arba Amos. Tosus doesn't begin talking about it until, in fact, the end of the sugya, until the end, right? So why didn't Tosus pipe up the moment Rav Huna said that it's a function of Arba Amos? Okay, that's what he's dealing with. So he says, he wants to say that, at least I think he's saying, in explaining that answer, he says, just like Zion al Zion, okay, just like Zion al Zion, Rosh Hashanah, even a little bit less than that is no good, right? Even a drop less than that, okay, that's the common fix. Even a drop less than that, a mashu less than that, everybody agrees that it's possible. So that's why, when it comes to the shir of Dalad al Dalad, and the question of 20 amos, even a little bit more than that, it's going to be kosher. He's linking the two things. He says, just like a little bit less than Zion al Zion is no good, a little bit more than Dalal that will be good above 20 amos. I think he's explaining just what might have pushed Tosus to the second teretz. You know, not that it's a ratio matter. That what the shear the chavah fixed. So that's the shear the chavah fixed. Period. And just like a little less than Zion al Zion is no good, a little more than Dalal, even with a 20 amma height, is good. And that's what he says. All right. Possibly to motivate it, I thought it was interesting. The Ritva, and many other Rishonim, again, I printed the wrong Kiddush Ritva, so it should say Keman Az HaHodam Arhuna, okay, not HaHodam Arhuna, so I made a mistake. He basically says, just writes it up as a number Pashat. I'll read you the relevant words from here. He says, So maybe the Ritva says openly, like the first Teretz of Tosfos, it's a matter of cheshbon, and that's how many assume also. But the Maharsha, if you still have the page of the Maharsha, says, well, one second. So Lamaisa, if that's true, so then it's like we already saw the Sfasemis mentioned too, the Maharsha is before the Sfasemis. So the Maharsha says the same thing that should then be true. On a smaller sukkah, it should be allowed. The Chacham should have a problem if even with less than 20 amas. If you have a Zion al Zion sukkah, so then it shouldn't be allowed even 20 amas according to the Chachamim. Right? That's the Marsha is bothered by. All right. So let's see. Beis Mabeis. Let me just find the Marsha. The first thing in Beis Mabeis, right? He said, "Lamai the middle of Meimar, the behechsha sukkah gemiflegi b'shura mitzumsim shudal amos kamar v'una the psula begova vaday dike lemeimar lefi cheshben zed tzarach harochel lefi agova." Okay, aber lamai the masvi of huna sovim rosh b'shura adal amos pligi. Like we said, that from the small, I told this quarter from the smaller amount, from the smaller the minimum up until dalal amos. There's no, that's where the machlokas is. Why is the machlokas? Why is that any more machlokas than dalal amos and above? Should be the same issue. Okay, why is that assumed that there, you know, it's a kind of a flat shear from, not a ratio, a flat shear from Zion al Zion to Dal Amos. Okay, Masha the Kul b'shir gova kaf mifsali lo lefi erech. Im kain be yes of Dal Amos to come to the shear less than a mifsali lefi erech. V'ha tikshon v'chi nachshu b'rechava mashu yoser and v'tirtzu the yesh lomar. So that's what Tosus Kasha was. V'tirtzu the yesh lomar de lo'olam tzarech harochel v'agova. It is a ratio of width to height. And therefore, says Tosus, perhaps the same thing should be that if the smaller sukkah, it's also not going to be kosher. Okay, pligi nami bepachos midal amos. Okay, so basically, the Marsha says that enchanami. One could argue that if it's a smaller sukkah, then the same machlokas will be in place. Okay, if it's a ratio matter, if it's a matter of ratio, that's if arba amos is referring to a 20 amos sukkah. So then, according to the Chacham, it should be even, the Marshal at least brings up that possibility. The problem is not much like that from the language of the Gemara, because the Gemara says the Machloka is only in this case, not. The Machloka is in all the cases. Yeah.
He's assuming that even if one does his first answer, this is the ratio, he's not saying that the number 20 is completely superficial. Like, you know, there's still, he's still about the reasons.
Well, the number 20 is Oh, yeah.
According to Rabbi Sanzer and Tosfos, you can still say that, you know, the ratio is supposed to be 4 to 20. It's not like, oh, if you go to 2, like, you know, it's that the max amount is going to...
10? No, that's the same possibility.
The reason for 20, I mean, on the first comment, they give all the reasons why.
No, we're talking about... Well, they told within Rabbi Zeir. I'm sorry, let's make this clear. This whole discussion is within Rabbi Zeir. Within Rabbi Zeir says the issue is the production of tzel, and he holds that that seems to be a ratio of the... length and width of the sukkah to the height, so that's going to be small. Within Rabbi Zeir, you're right. According to Rabba, who says the matter of your eyes will notice it, according to Rabba, it's got nothing to do with it, right?
But even within Rabbi Zeir, I thought Rabbi Zeir thinks that only once you get to 20 amos high, that's when the stock isn't.
No, so that's what we said in the first, that's what we said in the second, not the ratio of the teretz, the second teretz, the Kimlur Rabbanan. But according to the first Teretz, it seems, Rashi says at least Adam, it would seem that it should have to do with the ratio.
Those are
the two Teretz.
You can't say that he agrees that
20 is... I hear, maybe. I hear what he's saying. You want to say that he... Oh, okay, I don't know, I have to think that through, that makes sense logically. If it's a ratio, it should be a ratio. Okay, now the truth of the matter is, the Rashash, you know, on this Tosus, is that what he's saying? See, the Rashash asks, give him a Maskel Yesh, you can look it up yourself and see it there. Now, the Rashash asks, so what, and maybe you're right, maybe that's what you say may work with the Pnei Yeshua. Because Rashash basically asks that, to say that the minimum, that when it's shorter, you're going to have to maintain the same ratio, really means that the Gemara, that doesn't work at all with the words of the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that machlokas is only when it's the 20 machlokas is as long as not 20 amas. Okay, 20 amas and above, this even the chachamim agree. But what we're saying now is, well, no, there'll still be a machlokas when it's lower than 20 also. Okay, there'll be a machlokas when lower than 20 also. He'll maintain you have to have a ratio. He says, you know. And that's the Rashash's kasha against that Sora. Okay? But you want to say that, okay, but I hear. Maybe right. Right.
Starts,
you're putting together the two terutzim, in effect. It could be. Which, by the way, thinking about it, maybe is what the Miri was saying. We were bothered by the Miri seemed to switch. But you're saying, back in Sorsena Miri, at the end, maybe that's what he's saying. Maybe the whole discussion. That's a good thought. And now that I think about it, maybe that's what the Miri's getting at. Because he says that, you know. But he's saying it the other way. I'm not sure now. Would that work for the Miri? I don't know. Could work. Okay, let's do the Pnei Yeshua 15. Pnei Yeshua quotes the Marsha. Okay, well, let's see inside. You know, he says, the Marsha is the Tempter, and the Ilav, how the Masik was so for Pshita, the Lola Mashil of the Eret. Okay, he acknowledges the problem with the Gemara. Okay, it's Belufize Tzarech Lomar. Look at the fourth line, the fifth line. The hod the karmachlokas marosh rushon adalos abu yosef adalos zirkol ksherim. Hainal inyan shir esrim. That's why I first thought what you say might work with him. The afal gav the pach daralamus psul rabban and afilu pchusa unamucha esrim. Afilu hachi bi ikur dina demas is pasler rabban be govam esrim hadadi ad rochav daralamus. He's not saying what you're saying. He's saying that the Tosus is working within the mission that said 20 amos. In other words, what he's saying is that the language doesn't work out because there's a machlokas even when it's lower, okay, if it's less wide, then we say machlokas when it's lower. But he says the reason why, just a moment. Even it's still possible according to Rabbanan, but they operated with the 20. So why did the Gemara? Because the Gemara is going on the Mishnah. The Mishnah makes 20 amos the cutoff. So it's not a kasha on the Gemara. It works out that, up until 20 amos. What did Rav Huna say? Rav Huna said that up until 20 amos, that's when the machlokas is. But above 20 amos, there's no. Okay, 1 second. But it's not 20 amos. In other words, the Rabbanan will agree, the Rabbanan will pasul. The Rabbanan will pasul sometimes below 20 amos also. Okay? The Rabbanan will pasul, I'm sorry, the Rabbanan will be machshir. Excuse me. The Rabbanan says it's kosher up until 20 amos, but that's not automatically true. Right? If it's smaller, they're not going to be machshir up to 20 amos. Right? That's the problem. Right? So the Pnei Yeshua is in a Hanami. Okay, but they use the 20 amos, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. But that only deflects the question. So why did the Mishnah mention 20? So the Pnei Yeshua says, lo tiksha, last line of that first paragraph, v'avagufa the masnisa lo tiksha my nokto abonon shir esim, v'lo nokto shir gova haposel v'sukka shenu machzekes el rosh v'ruv v'shochono. Why did they operate with the base, you know, the best way to present this machlokes in the Mishnah was start with the minimum shear of sukkah and say when the shear is this small, when the sukkah is this small, minimum size of sukkah, the schach has to be no more than yehai. And when the sukkah, why not spell it out? Start with the Mishnah and don't talk about 20 amos, which only works a dalad. Start with the minimum shear of sukkah. So the Pnei Yeshua says, because hanam shum the stamein shear dalad amos. Well, that means exactly what stam. You know, that the normal size of a sukkah. Who built a sukkah so Zion talking 2.5 feet? Okay, and there's nothing to it. So, not even two, not 2.5 feet, less than 2.5 feet. The tefach is 3 inches. Yeah, okay, so Zion talking, so not even 2 feet, less than 2 feet. So, that's a tiny sukkah. So, the Mishnah doesn't deal with it. The Mishnah deals with the norm. The norm is at least adalad al-dalad. That's what the Pnei Yeshua says. In the second paragraph there, he has a whole limit from Yerushalmi, that seems to say that that it is a matter of the. It seems that Yerushalmi supports the notion that it's a matter of the eret. It's a matter of the ratio. But I do want to point out halacha lemaisa. I'm not going to read the whole tshuva here, but halacha lemaisa. There's a tshuva from the Tashbetz, one of the Rishonim. Okay, chelik aleph siman kuf chavav. Okay, let's read a little bit inside because it's he basically paskins halacha lemaisa that a smaller sukkah, the schach is not high enough. It's no good. He takes this, that which the Marshal says is a possibility and emerges from Tosfos and so on. I'm just showing you the Kiva Eger on the page. Go back to the page. Beis Mabeis. The Kiva Eger in the Gilyon Hashas. It's pointed to this Tashbetz. Kiva Eger had, you know, the Gilyon Hashas, which I have printed on the side of the page. The Gilyon Hashas is exactly what it was. It was Rabbi Kiva Eger's notes that he wrote in the margins of his Shas. He would see certain things in the Gemara and be reminded of a certain tshuva and so on. So he saw this statement of Tosfos that it goes l'fi cheshbon, it goes according to the ratio. He writes the last piece. Again, says ayin tshuvas tashbeitz chelik alav simukuf chavov. Okay, so that's what I'm pointing to. So the yeah. So there were actually two Rishonim who had the same name, the same initials, Reish Beis Tzadi, Reish Shin Beis Tzadi. Okay, and one was Ashkenazi, one was Sephardi. Shimshon Reb Tzaruk and Shimon Ben Tzemach, Duran. Okay, and one was a Talmud of Rambam. The Ashkenazi was a Talmud of Rambam Rutenberg. We have a sefer called Sefer Tashbetz, which is a collection of the Hanhagas of the Maram Rutenberg. I think he was the one who used to visit Rambam Rutenberg. You know the story, right? Spent the last 14 of his life. He was arrested in prison, and so on trumped up charges. So. The Talmudim visited him, so they wrote. There's a sefer called Sefer Tashbetz, so sometimes called Tashbetz Cotton, which was written by this Shimon ben Tzaruk, collecting his anhagas. But the tshuvas of Tashbetz, I think this tshuva is from the Sephardi Tashbetz. Anyway, from the Duran family, he says, "Perish sugi rishon sefer sukkah, keman hazar muvet tzetzer sefer like abzera." Okay, lechora haba mashma. Again, we're not going to read the whole tshuva. The chol she yosim dal amos afilo mashum is kasho hay sukkah, right? That's them. And he says v'zeh dover shal tema to mishum dericha mashu, the same kasho everybody has. Right? Again, it's a rishon, it's a late rishon. So mishum dericha mashu tfei dal amos yikshere afilo imi magbala tfei, even if you make it much higher, or mina the ikatzel v'botzer ahu mashu lo miskasho el eshem v'od kasho makshik sharan. Okay, you know, the Zion of Zion and so on. Anyway, so he says various kashas doesn't work out like the Gemara. And the Nira Lafarish, go to the second paragraph. The Masnisin Bistam Sukkah Mairi, like we just saw that the Pnei Yeshua says. The Mishnah is talking about an ordinary sukkah. Umashma, the Stam Sukkah, ain't the Fanus Megillah Schach, Kol Shu Gvoa Harbe. A giant sukkah is when you have a very, very high sukkah, the schach, the walls are not that high. Okay, and it works out really that the Gemara talks, we'll see later, about the sukkah of Helena Amalka. Anyway, in the course of and he says, let's look down in that second paragraph, about seven lines to the top. The bistam ella the bistam sukkah skinan, the stamayu the inchi sukkah sheesh bo daora al daoramos av the inchi below butz me'ach below tfei nami. The average person builds a sukkah that's daoramos al daoramos. Now I don't know if it's true today. Okay, I think most average sukkahs are probably bigger. The amos, let's say, maybe 2 feet. So people have, so sukkahs are longer than 8 feet, I think. But okay, you assume that that's the average size. He knows that was the average size sukkah. And therefore, Tana Stama sukkah, Shivolamala puzzle, the Rabba Devada in Varasara Magios Ischa, or Zeranami Devada Besukh Dala Dala, Lo Puzzle, also Askinan, the Hashtami Tarta Kusha, my puzzle with Tanale. Now we answer our question, why did it say that? Because that's Kavi the Mistama Hachi Abdul Inchi. Okay, so that's the average size of the sukkah. Okay, but. And therefore, if you want, if you make it higher, then you'd have to widen it as well. It's a percentage, a ratio of 1 to 5. And now he says, just a moment. On the right line. And now he says, Hachanami, Kol Shem, about this is the key, 3, 6, 8 lines at the bottom. Hachanami, Kol Shehi Bitsira Midal Amos Adal Amos. And it was less than that. Atot Sorek La Hafchis Hagova. You have to lower the height as well. Okay? Sheim Haisa Rechava Shtei Amos or Shtei Amos, Gova Yosem Esen Amos Ypsua, which would be like a tail. Okay? Okay? Well, that doesn't mean it's automatically good. That's talking about a sukkah that's dalal dalal. And so the Tashbeit's paskins, halacha lamaisa. Then enachanami. According to Chachamim, you have a sukkah that's smaller, and some people do. If it's smaller than dalal amos or dalal amos, really small sukkahs, then the height's going to have to be less than 20 amos too. Most of the time it is. It's not okay. But it would have to be based on the same ratio. He says, but the lashon. He's medayik. He says the Gemara's lashon was the lashon of Gemara was machokes b'she'ein bo ela dalal dalad. The machokes is when it's dalal dalad. It doesn't say that machokes is up to when it's dalal dalal. Okay? It's machokes is when it's dalal dalal. That's a he's medayik. So, elamirim dalal amos. If below amirim machokes, ad dalal amos. It doesn't say ad up to. It says dalal dalal. Davke. That's the case we're talking about. Why are we talking about that case? Because that was the norm. At least in those days. Okay? Avali tvei batzel osik tana l'hanishu. But they're not talking about it smaller. That's what they mentioned. Okay, and he says that's what I think is correct. And anyway, that's at the end he throws in, but we don't really pass like Gemzera anyway. We don't pass like Gemzera anyway. We say that pasuk of Tzel is for Yom Hashanah Mashiach and so on. Okay, all right. Anyway, that's I want to show you that because Akiva Eger points to it, and it's an important psak halacha lemaaseh. The Aruch Laner will finish up. The Aruch Laner deals with this issue as well. In his commentary, Sukkah Beis and Beis, Bem Tzadibah Lefichesh with Adam. Sometimes he quotes Reisi Bishut Tashbeitz Chekalim. Everyone saw, you know, all the Talmud Chom saw this Tashbeitz, so now we've seen it too. Okay? The Hakol Talafi, you know, Teretz of Zerah Be'erech Hazed, so a matter of this ratio. Okay, everything we said. However, he says on the fourth line, Ulanias Daiti Zed Dochak. Okay? It's still a little schwer. I mean, who said that that's the norm? I mean, where do we get that? That's the Aruch Hanes bothered by. To say this teretz that you know that even when the sukkah is smaller, even when the sukkah is smaller than dal dal, you also have to lower the height. to make sure that that's sealed. And I wanted the Mishnah said, they're talking about the average sukkah. That, who says that's the average? Where do we get that that's what they used to do? And we're only talking exactly with Dalad Davis. He says, well, our Chanes says it's a little difficult. Okay, let's remember, this is in a Mishnah, right? So now it comes back to what you said to me before. Okay? Not you're saying, sorry, it's original what you said, but it's saying why they dealt with a dollar, why they dealt with, that's not what you said, I'm sorry, but why they dealt with dollar, because otherwise, why would they mention 20 amos? Why not say a 1-to-5 ratio? That's what the Mishnah should have said, right? That's what the Aruch HaNeir is saying. So he says no, because they he mentioned Esrim because of the other shitas. Okay, we have to have what's that? Right. In other words, well, you said 20 amos. Just 1 second. You want to do it because. Let because no, but he's saying there is a shita that a sukkah smaller than Dal Amos is no good. It's not 7 and 7, right? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's like Rebbe. So therefore, this Mishnah mentioned Dal because there is one shita. We possibly even smaller, but there is one shita that's the minimum size. So now it's a little bit of Kula Alma. Okay, now it's a little bit of Kula Alma. Okay. And he also held Mentor Shami. See, why did they make it work according to all of the shitas? That's why they mentioned Dal Amos. But in other words, Ein Hachanami. I still think your answer is a creative answer, but okay. For a minute, I thought that's what he's saying. He's not. He's just saying, technically speaking, they wanted to come up with the Mishnah dealt with an amount that was going to be Lekula Alma, namely Dal. But Ein Hachanami, the Machlokes applies even when it's less than Dal. Yeah. Okay, finally, we'll finish up this sheet. If you look in the Rashash once more, in the Ha'otzim Afarshim, Ha'ghost, whatever, Ha'ghost of Fibushim, I should swear I'll find it. Why did they do this? This is Beis or Beis. His divrei ma'aser should be mishum tzel b'tfei. Let's see, it could be a different divrei ma'aser in different editions.
It's like two rashashes up from the one solved.
Say it again?
It's like a little bit up from the divrei ma'aser edition.
The one we saw before. Just a moment. It's two up for that? Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, here, it's to do with Tfei. No, that's not the one. No. That's not the one. I can't find that. I didn't write that one. The only secret I found. The old fashioned way of finding things. Maybe this. You hear Mishum Tzil. Oh, it's on the, because they separate when it goes on Rashi. That's what it is here. Yeah, here. Just a minute. Mishum Tzil. I probably don't find it in this edition. It says on Rashi Mishum Tzel. The very end of that one. Let me read it from here, okay? Because I can't find it. It's Medivah Masu Mishum Tzel B'Tfei Midalas Purta Lo Shalta Be'Ena. Going back, it's going back on Rabba from yesterday. Still looking, I just don't see it. So I don't know who broke these up into Kiddush. Let me read it from the regular Rosh Hashanah. Okay, it says, Havada Tamid Mishnah Ena Filu Rechava Tuva Pasi Abanak and Rosh Hashanah Rekama. Okay, fine. And then he says, He's saying on Rabbah, what he brings with the Rosh Hashanah brings an interesting point. He says when it comes to Rabbah, okay, what did Rashi say? Look at the Rashi Mishum Tzel. Okay, Rashi said the Imishum Mishlet Eina Betvei Midal Amas Purta Lo Shalta Beina. Rashi said, I'm done with the. Again, this is not on the same point. I'm finished with the issue of the ratio. So it's all machlokes rishonim. Fine, how it works out. Just a on Rashi. Rashi said the Gemara asked Keman Azla, right? The Gemara asked who does it go like this statement of Rav Huna Amarav that it's a function of let's say the ratio. So that's like Kabzera. It's a function of Tzel. That's like Kabzera, because according to Rabbah, okay, as Rashi fills in, he says the imishul mishut eina b'tfei midal amas purta lo shalta beina. Right, if it's a little more than even if it's more than arba amos at the base, it's not going to impact the height. Right, that's what Rashi said. So the Rasha says, "Havada l'tal mishad ena afilu ruchavatuva pasi abana." Can the mashmit of the common the mashmit v'lo mishum de lo shalta beena? Can mashmit hoses the ruchava harbe vada shalta ena? Abashamay mechicho el do rotzul chacham lo say tibrim l'shiurim lomar in gvoa kach tiskash baruchav kach. Okay. He's bothered a little bit. Well, that's not really true, okay? If you're in a larger area, why is that true? That if it's higher, it's not going to be, if it's wider, rather, that's not going to affect how high it is. We said that, but is that true? If you're in a larger room, you are more likely to see the roof or the ceiling than in a smaller room. When you're outside, you can perceive the sky. Right, if you're in a small contained area, so you're in a small area, you don't necessarily pick up the what's above. But here you do. But I mean, a bigger room you do. He says, "Hashemayim mechichu." Okay, he says, "Berchava harbe vada shalteina." He's just challenging why this ruling of Rehuna Omarav isn't impacted by the base footprint of the sukkah. Should be according. Why Rabbah's not viewed is impacted by it? Should be. Because if it's a bigger base, you should also be more likely to see what's above you in a bigger room. So he says, "Ela de la rotzu chacham lo says divem l'shiurim lomar im gvoa kach tiskash barochav kach mashekena kan talmud tzel deika gvul dal amos v'shiur zem etzanu." He says, the Rasha says, because there that means mamish every inch you'd have to say, well, at this point I can see the roof, this point I can't. If it's wider, they didn't want to deal with that. They said, if it's this and this height, it'll be okay, and this width, and length and width, and so on. They didn't want to do that. But according to the Reb Zera, they were willing to do that, because there is, Dalet Amos is a shear that we find. And see what the Rosh Hashanah is saying? Is Dalet Amos is a shear that we find, okay, as for the minimum size of the sukkah. So that's why they were willing to, what they were willing to do with the Reb Zera, they were not willing to do with the Rabbah. Because with the Bzera, there is an amount. There is a minimum shear of dollar. So there they're willing to do it. So it was just a brief ha'ara. Lastly, I got two other ha'aras. Okay. So Sam was also bothered by the same, similar question. Okay. But then he asked a different shot. Look at 19. So Sam is saying it's a different question. He says, I don't understand. Okay. Even if it's a bigger sukkah, but if the defanos are bigger, right, then if you're sitting near the defanos, you're sitting in the shade of the defanos, even a larger sukkah. And that's what he's bothered by there. Okay, you're sitting in the tzel of the defanos. So what do I care? In Kain, ma bekach tabach zekas a sukkah tfein, kol mokom ha-shir sukkah nizom is lifsol, the sham leka tzel sukkah, rak tzel defanos. Okay, and the Gemara seems to imply, if it's bigger, the whole sukkah is kosher. It doesn't say only in that area where the schach impacts, the whole sukkah is good. It's a general kosher, right? And we're worried about the tzel of the fanos, it should matter where you're sitting, right? Why should we? So he says, you understand the kosher? Understand the kosher that Sfasem is bothered by? You're good to have a very broad sukkah. So now there's plenty of tzel generated by the schach, but not if I'm sitting right here by the wall. Because I'm still, that's still fanos. So he says an important point. The tzorach lomar the ikar apsul mishum de ein hatschach l'tzorach tzel. What is the psul? The psul is when the schach is not made for the purpose of tzel. Lahachi besukah gedola the ikar makom the leket tzel defanos v'tzorach l'tzel aschach im kei nasa aschach l'tzorach tzel. Therefore kasher kol sukkah. Was the tzchach put up, and does the tzchach serve to provide tzel? If it does, then the whole sukkah is kosher. Even if I'm not sitting in the tzel of the sukkah, I'm sitting in the corner, I'm sitting in the tzel of the fanas for sure. Okay, it doesn't matter, because the tzchach that's on this sukkah was made for the purpose of tzel, and this sukkah needs tzel. And the bigger it is, the more tzel, you know, the more it needs. That's a key line. The ikar absul mishum the ena tzchach v'tzok tzel hachim b'sukkah gdola. The ikar makam the leket tzel defanos. A big sukkah, there's got to be some parts of the sukkah where the shade of the wall doesn't reach. Right, the walls are a certain height, so in the middle of the sukkah. So therefore, I need tzchach. Once you have tzchach for hechsher sukkah, so then the whole sukkah is kosher. Then the whole sukkah is kosher. However, miyal kapanof he's not talking. It's called a sukkah mishach kosher. Our sheer sukkah sheitz al tfanos who kosher shar tzchach posel. Now he asks, what about does the tzchach have to be tzchach kosher or not? So he says maybe not. But if there's tzchach that's posel by the tfanos, it's not enough that the tzchach in the middle creates the tzel. But anyway, it's an interesting point. Okay, at the end he speaks about people opening up roofs. Okay, to make the tzchach, which we have today. But anyway, that's an important point to this Vasemis, that once the tzchach is needed for tzel, then it's good enough. The last point I wanted to say on this sugya, and we'll go on to the Rava, which is how we paskin, which is Dearest Kevin, Dearest Arayim, as Hashem on Sunday. There's an interesting point that Ochlan Eir makes at the beginning of the Masechta on Beis Manalim, Gemara Sukkah Daraisa. He said, you know, the Gemara had answered, remember the difference between Sukkah and Mavo, is that Sukkah is Daraisa and a Mavo is Darbanah. But he says, you know, l'chora lo shayach zeh. I didn't do this then because we hadn't seen the Gemara yet, but now we have. So look at it inside. Lo shayach zeh rak la teretz rabba, ul teretz rabba. That really only works according to Rabba and Rabba. Avel teretz mzera, the pasim of amalam esim up ach asi mevesukat yel etzel. Lo me deraisa rak me dever kabbalah. 1 second. Rab Zera's whole limud is that we have a pasuk in Yeshaya that says v'sukkah seal the tzel, that sukkah is for the purpose of tzel. That's not a deraisa concept. That's not pasuk and Abi. Okay, that's not pasuk and Abi. Mela, what's Rabba learns from what pasuk leman yedid dorasechem has to be shalta be'ena, and he learns basukas teshu has to be dira that's only for 7 days and so on and so forth. That's learning out from pasuk in the Torah. So Mela, Rabba and Rabba both learn from Sukkah and the Torah. I understand the Gemara says Doraisa, but according to Mzera, it's Divrei Kabbalah. Kabbalah, again, here means Navi. It doesn't mean mysticism. Okay, Navi. So Mela, Achein Yesh Lomar, the Lord Mzera says, so with the very important point, are we saying that Mzera's whole concern is only the Rabbanan concern? That's what it looks like. Hold on, Divrei Kabbalah concern? So the Archon says no. Achein Yesh Lomar, the Mzera Gam can have a Doraisa. It's a Halacha Meshvi Sinai. You have to say that Zera is dealing on a deraisa plane as well. Otherwise, it'd be such a marked difference. Okay, and he says, remember the Gemara later asked, how come they don't learn like him? And they could have said on the next page, Rabba, the Gemara had a few different things. The Gemara said, cool, they don't all like Rabba because of his kasha. They don't like Zera because of that kasha. They don't like Rabba because of his kasha. Why not say they don't like Zera because he's only dealing on a drabbanon plane and we're talking about a deraisa plane? Why did the Gemara say that? So Rochon Eir says, evidently, because why? He's also dealing on the deraisa plant. Halacha Meshvi Sinai, which later on was written down by Yeshaya. We find that by other cases also, he quotes the Gemara. In Sanhedrin, you know, you could quote about Zohar and Shamar and Shabbos. I'm sorry, covered in Oneg on Shabbos. That's in Navi, it's in Yeshaya. V'chibarato, right? The Kosar Shabbos Oneg. Some people say that by Shabbos when Kiddush, they quote those psukim. Until Yeshaya's time, there's no din of covered Oneg Shabbos? According to the Rambam, it's under Zohar and Shomer and so on. The answer was part of Torah Shavuot Peh. Later on, it was written down. So that's the same thing here. But it's got to be Din Daraisa. It says at the end, El Akochid Gamma Abzer, Absul Abid Daraisa. I just want to make that point. Let me just say something on the last few minutes on the Sedru. That's the end of this Sugah Abzer. And the best time on Sunday, move on. It's a little more complicated and a little more, lumdish. The sheet of Rava, the business of Dearest Kevin, Dearest Arai, as we see, comes up in a few places in the parak, and we'll continue with that with Hashem on Sunday. And Mitzvah will have the sheets ready for that. Parashat Lech Lecha, we meet really for the first time as a person of any prominence, of Rav Avinu. Right? And we met him at the end of Noach, but here he's told, of course, Lech Lecha. And we know from our tradition, from Midrash, Rav Avinu, in effect, initiated or popularized the concept of monotheism, initiated in a world where it wasn't really accepted, right? There are different midrashim different explanations. And what exactly is it that Avraham Avinu saw? First of all, it's a different question. What age? How old was Avraham when he began to? Some say he was 3 years old. Some say he was 40s, 48. But some say it started when he was younger and he had matured into a whole philosophy when he was older. Whatever it was, wouldn't you like to know what was it that Avraham was thinking? Right? Wouldn't it have made sense for the Torah to have told us what Avraham saw that motivated him? You know, he's called Avraham Ivri, right? Avraham Ivri, from the word Hebrew. What does Ivri mean? What is Avraham Ivri? Okay. When he's notified that Lot had been taken captive, and as we said, in the battle, with the civil war between the four kings and the five kings, and Lot gets taken as prisoner of war. So it says, "Vayugel Avram, he's still Avram then. Avram Ivri. What does Ivri mean? We know Ivri. Later on, the Jews are called Ivrim. Yosef is Ivri, and so a few. So Ivri in translation is Hebrew, but that's just a transliteration if you think about it. Well, what is Ivri? So we have three different approaches. Okay, I think Rashi mentions two. The third one is that Ivri means descendant of Aver. Shemin Aver, right? Ivri means from the family of Aver. Many last names, even nowadays, go back to the name of the original person, the head of the family, right? I mean, all the Irish MC names, you know, McDonald, and they go back to the original name. Okay, we have also in Hebrew or Yiddish names. When it goes back to the Marshal is Eidlis, means Eidlis, and the mother was called Eidl's daughter, right? Or Israel, Moshe Israel, Israel. When they started making last names, so they, which Moshe is this? A lot of people call Moshe. This is Moshe Israel's Moshe, right? That's how the last names often started. So it's called Ivri. Others say Ivri has to do with he came from Aver Hanahar, across the river. Let's remember that in the ancient world, people didn't travel much. Certainly people didn't move and uproot like today. Okay, it was a big thing, Lech Lecha. That's why it's one of the Nisyonos. I mean, why is it a big Nisyon? Okay, moving is a big Nisyon. Okay, there's no doubt about it. Okay, it's considered one of the top stressors, you know, in today's world. You know, the stress, moving is a big issue. It causes a lot of stress. But still, today it's much more common. In the olden days, you know, you're born, you grow up, you live, you die in the same basic area. You didn't travel much. It was dangerous to travel. And not only that, when you came to another place, you were an outsider. You weren't from, you know, the crowd. People don't like new people moving in. So it's an old situation. So he was called Avraham Ivri, Avram from the other side. He was from the other place, from Aver Hanahar. That's how he got his last name, right? And the third approach is, I think Rashi doesn't quote this one, it's in the Medrash, is that he was Avram the other. He was a contrarian. Abraham, the whole world's on one side, he's on the other side. Kol Olam Kul on one side, he's on the other side. So he's called Avram Ivri, the other, oh, that strange guy, the contrarian, the oppositional guy. Right? Abraham the oppositional, that's how he got his name. Right? We all say one thing, he says the other. Right? So we know that Avram, and he was willing to stand up and go against the trend and so on and so forth. Why wouldn't the Torah tell us what he thought about first and what his thinking was? It would help us, no, to come to our own conclusions about belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are a Ban who says that, in effect, that the Torah would have had to go into more detail about Avodah Zarah and what people did, and the Torah didn't want to give you so much insights into Avodah Zarah. To say what the people then did, what he thought was against it, and so on and so forth. So the Torah had spent a lot of time talking about a Zorah. So that's a possibility, right? And there are, however, Midrashim, which say would motivate Avraham. There's one Midrash that he once beheld a beautiful home, and the table was set with beautiful food and delicious wine, and he said, you know, you see something set up so beautifully, somebody had to have done it. Right, you're impressed by the sheer beauty. It didn't happen by mistake. You know, this building wasn't built by accident. This was built and this table was set and so on by somebody who obviously knew what he was doing. That began, got him thinking. Right? That got him thinking. That's one approach. Now, there's another approach that he saw the sun. He thought, wow, the sun, without the world, the sun wouldn't exist. So the sun must be the creator, must be God. Then, of course, comes nighttime, there's no sun. That's visible to us. So each year he was going through it, you know, moon, etc., combination, right? And sometimes you can't see either the sun or the moon. It's cloudy out. So that, you know, that's who got him contemplating. What's the force of the universe? As the Rambam says that he came to it, Rambam Aruch writes, he came to it through philosophy, right? And then, of course, you have the Medrash that's not written in this week's Sedra, the Medrash, the end of last week's Sedra, but you all know the Medrash. And he was a kid. He saw his father had an idol shop, okay? And so one day he broke all the idols in his father's shop, except for one, the big one. He put the stick in the hand. When the father came back, Terach came back, and he asked him, what happened to all my idols? He said, that big guy over there, he went and busted everybody up, right? And Terach, they can't move, you know, what kind of stupid story is that? And, you know, she said, well, you really can't move, so why do you worship him, and so on and so forth, right? That's the story that we hear more or less as little kids. So I think you can suggest that those approaches, you know, represent, in a certain sense, different aspects of Avraham Avinu, but also can tell us the reason why the Torah doesn't give us, Dafka doesn't tell us what motivated Avraham. First of all, if the Torah would say what motivated Avraham, so I could look at it and say, oh, that's because X, Y, and Z happened in his life, and therefore he got motivated to come closer, but X, Y, and Z hasn't happened in my life, and when that happens to me, I'll do it also. Like people say today, you know, the Jewish people at Har Sinai, if I were there and I heard Hashem's voice, I'd also keep all the Torah mitzvahs. You know, but that's what people would say. If the Torah would give you the information about what led Avraham Avinu on his search, you'd say, okay, so these things happened in his life that push him in that direction, and it doesn't happen to me, so I can't relate to it. But I'm saying, phrasing it a little differently. I'm saying that, no, maybe the idea is that several things pushed him. No one thing pushed him. All the above is correct. And the truth is, there are different approaches. The idea of seeing the beautiful building, some people take an aesthetic approach to God. They're impressed by the beauty. Like they're impressed by the beauty of the universe. Some of us don't notice it. But there are many people impressed by the beauty of the universe. That can bring you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second approach, the sun, the moon, science. There's some people who are dazzled by scientific facts. And they say, wow, it shows, you know, the, what do you call it, you know, what do they call it in science today? Intelligent design, right? They're impressed by science. Other people, they're not so impressed by the science. You know, it doesn't do it for them. Right? And still others, it's the realm of philosophy, thinking, and that works for some people also. And for some people, forgive me, it's the what I call the impetuous approach. Avraham was a kid, a teenager maybe, and so he rebelled against his father. You know, he busted up his father's shop. You know, and again, the idea I think is that the Torah is telling and wants us to know that there are in fact different approaches. There is no one approach. That's why the Torah didn't tell us. There is no one approach. There are different approaches as to how any one of us can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and can find our path. And one is not necessarily better for others. That's good because human beings are different. We say every day in the davening, B'sein chalkeinu b'sarasecha. What does it mean, B'sein chalkeinu b'sarasecha? I have a chelek in Torah, you have a chelek in Torah, you have a chelek. And my chelek is not the same as yours. Okay, you think of people today. Okay, it's become very popular in many shuls. They have once a month, whatever it is, they have a Kalbach minyan, you know? Many people are very inspired by that. It's singing and zmiris. You know, people have tishes now. It used to be the chassidim had a tish. Now all the yeshivas have tishes, right? Some people are very inspired by that, the singing and the zmiris and so on and so forth. That is an approach that other people come to shul, they don't want to so much singing. They like the yagur chaz and chazonis. Other people are inspired by that. Other people like different things. You know, other people in different drachim of learning. Some people like shir and learning that goes into great depth and so on and so forth. And they plumb with a kasha, with a fancy. Other people, they want to cover ground. They want to see the breath. They're more into bakias and so on. Okay, and some people like this Rebbe, and some people like that Rebbe. And the answer is, Rabbi Osai, that there are different legitimate approaches to finding a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And what the Torah challenges us to do is for each person to find his own approach. You have to see what makes the most sense for you. What, so to speak, turns you on to a relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's not going to be the same for everybody. And the reason it should be the same. Because all of us think differently. And Taka, like I said, all of us had different life experiences. Okay? It's very easy for, and I find that sometimes people give glib answers to deep questions. Yeah, this didn't bother you. Okay, you had X, Y, and Z happen in your life. This didn't affect you, but it affects me. Okay, I'm thinking about this. Some people are very inspired by beauty. They go for walks in nature and seeing a beautiful sunset or whatever. Some people find that extraordinarily inspiring. People are more artistic, and they find other people that don't get so inspired by it. Doesn't mean something's wrong with me, or something wrong with him. Each person can get excited and can touch HaKadosh Baruch Hu his own way. That's what the Torah is telling us. Avraham Avinu found his path. That was his path. Which one of those reasons? I don't know. Could have been any, could have been a combination. I have to find, that's what San Clark Cannabis would have said. I have to find my connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through, you know, what I'm able to accomplish. And through my life experiences. Not through your life experiences. As I said, sometimes you read articles, you know, and you'll forgive me, sometimes, and I don't want to say it in a bad way because they're well-intentioned. They're always well-intentioned. You have young men who graduate high school, they go there to Sophie or two, and Baruch Hashem, they get turned on into learning, and they become more firm. And then they come back, and they want to come to high school, to the high school they went, and say, oh, if only I had this in high school, I had that, let me come and speak to the guys, you know, and tell them what. Now you want to speak to guys because of the experience that you had. I don't want to have that same experience. Okay, Rebbeim teaching high school also, teaching kids, you know, trying to inspire them on their level. That it's not, you now come back, this worked for you. And I'm glad it worked for you. But not necessarily it's going to work for everybody. You have to key into each person. You have to let each person find his derech. You know, I think that we make a mistake, forgive me, in today's society, and I could get in trouble for saying this, but I'll say it anyway. Okay, I don't care, it's recorded. Okay. Not everybody is meant to sit and learn all day. I think this situation that we have in the more in the yeshiva shabbat, but even some of the Arab, that everybody is to sit and learn Gemara all day, and you know that's all they do. I don't know if we've ever had that in history. I don't think it's correct. Not every person is cut out for that kind of a lifestyle. Okay, it's wonderful that other people can, but the idea that you can't be a contributing member of Klal Yisrael unless that's what you do, everybody has to learn. It's Kaveh to Matar, it's a Mitzvah Talmud Torah, that's, of course. But I want to imagine for a moment what our community, the Orthodox Jewish community right now in the United States, okay, would be without an organization like Hatzalah. How many people were saved, lives were saved by Hatzalah? And they have these other organizations, Misaskim, you know, and Chaverim, you know, to get a flat tire, somebody can call them, they can come and fix the tire, and some of them help you with the washing machine, or Misaskim that they take care of, but they are building chairs. And these are Bikur Cholim and Tomchei Shabbos, the only community have. These are wonderful, wonderful organizations. And most of the men running them are not the guys sitting in the Beis Medrash. But so what? They're not contributing to Klal Yisrael? Adrabah. Again, everybody has to be Kaveh on the Torah, no doubt about that. It's a mitzvah. Okay, but in terms of, you have to find what you can do to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how you can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and feel important in so doing. And you can be a major contributing member of Klal Yisrael by so doing. Not everybody. Those who are cut out to sit and learn for many years, call a kavod, should do it. We need. But other people can do other things. A person can pursue a profession, okay, whether it's law, it's business, it's medicine, it's engineering, it's STEM type of stuff, it's technology, whatever it may be, and still, you know, make major contributions to this community and to the Jewish, and we should respect. We should look up to that and respect to that. Of course, we have to respect Talmud Chacham, we should respect people learn. I think you force people into a situation that all they have to do is sit and learn all day, that's all they do. So I think you do that, you're harming the person. Not everybody's cut out for it. Now, some of you young, so maybe you haven't yet figured out, you're trying, but every person has to find his chelik and Torah and his chelik and the others. And there is a chelik. That's the point. There is a chelik for you. There's a chelik for everybody. What that chelik is going to differ from person to person. What it was for Avram was not the same. We know that Avram and Yaakov themselves are not the same personality. But even for Avram, as I say, we had the aesthetic approach or the scientific approach, philosophical approach, the what I call the impetuous approach, or whatever. That too is something. A person, you know, sometimes, you know, takes on a certain thing because he wants to be different than the parents. Good, in a positive way. I think that's a lesson. A person should pursue. Everybody has to learn. At your age, you have to spend a lot of time learning. Your age, okay? You know, people of college age spend a lot of time learning because, yes, you're pursued, but you don't have to feel bad if down the road of this out, I'm not going to stay cold for the next 25 years. And that's okay. Maybe that's not, you're not cut out for that. and you could be a major contributing member of Klai Yisrael. We're not that. Those people go into Klai Kodesh and Rabbanus and Chinuch, wonderful. We need more people. We need more good people. And people shouldn't be discouraged. You should take consider very, very seriously. But at the same time, somebody who, you know, really feels that this is right now, I'm going to go to college, I'm going to go to yeshiva, I'm going to come to shiur, I'm going to learn. But after college, maybe I'm not going to be able to learn as much, I'm pursuing a graduate degree. Okay, again, some learning, kareitim, that has to be. That's, you know, I don't want to be misunderstood. This kriyasim, not kriyasim, itim, not Torah, and I think it's important for guys to learn and to see. I know myself, many balabatim, people in my shul, people in other shuls, who learn sometimes more than some rabbis learn. But, you know, they, because they set aside time at night, they said that everybody has to do it. There's no doubt about it. Okay, people have free time to come to a shiur. Okay, and, you know, the vacation day, day off, you know, you spend some time learning also. Not just, I used to tell the students in high school before winter break, you know, before, you know, vacation. I said, you know, you might be going to Florida, to Disneyland World, or you're going skiing, or you're going here, you're going there. Whatever you're doing, you can spend a little bit of time learning every day. Even if I said, even 10 or 15 minutes. Even 10 or 15 minutes. Before you go out in your day's activity, or if you come home. I said, take something that you like to read. It doesn't have to be school related. Take a book that you got for your bar mitzvah, something you're interested in, something to do with learning, and spend 10 minutes. That's also valuable. Right? You know, that's also, kvias itim, you have to be. At your age and your maturity, so you're in yeshiva now, kvias itim must be more. You spend time learning. But that's a lifetime. Kvias itim is a lifetime. Learning is a lifetime. That a person should do nothing else but learning, that's not necessarily the best approach to serving the Kodesh Baruch Hu for everybody. It's good for many people, and if it's good for you, great. And if it's not, also great because you contribute in other ways. Okay, lesson about Rav Avinu. Have a wonderful Shabbos.